Hi guys, I just wanted to jump on here with little Bo. Say hey, Bo.
Hi.
Okay. And we just wanted to let everyone know about our upcoming live shows.
Ooh.
We have several coming up. The first one is Queers Live. Bo, tell them.
Oh, babe, it's inspired from the very inspired by, I should say,
yeah, inspired
the very
by.
First queer Divas Live, starring all your favorite divas. But we're just putting a little queer spin on it. We're gonna have so many great people: Larry Owens, Cole Escola, Josh Sharp, Aaron Jackson,
yes, Peter Smith,
and more to be announced. More queers,
more to be announced. Musical directed by the one and only Henry Kapersky.
Ooh.
This is on Monday, November 26th at Joe's Pub, the one and only. It's our very first ever Las Culturistas show at Joe's Pub. We love the folks over there. We're going to be,
so
recording a little video promo for it in the coming weeks. You might see it. And you can get tickets at the Joe's Pub website. So please head over and do that. And then we have the gag, of course. It's I Don't Think So, Honey, live at the Bell House on November 30th.
Yes, this is going to be a pretty new batch of folks. We are really going to show you some new faces, darling. Our last one was like a Legends Ball type gig, but this is going to be such a fun, fresh experience. It's going to be so great. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, you got to get your tickets to our I Don't Think So, Honey, live at the Bell House on November 30th. And if you're on the West Coast, honey, I'm coming to you.
Ooh.
And I'm going to be doing I Don't Think So, Honey, live at the Regent in downtown LA on December 5th. The lineup will be announced shortly, as will the Bell House lineup, but this is going to be so much fun. I loved our show that we did at Echoplex.
It was so fun. I can't believe I'm missing this one.
But you know what? It's for a good reason.
Okay.
Which is your wedding
to
yourself.
Yes.
Just kidding. He has work. So listen, I cannot wait. And then selfishly, I want to just plug a little show that I do here in New York City at the Duplex. It's called Have You Heard of Christmas?
Oh, I love this show.
Thank you, baby. I'm really excited. It's going to be on December 11th, December 18th, and December 22nd. So I'm going to do that show three times. And I really want you guys to come. You can get tickets, which are on sale right now.
Ooh, those are the shows, and that's the gauntlet.
Special
and you
guests.
Better, special guests.
And that's musical directed by Henry Kapersky as well.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait for all of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
I will be at 3 out of 4 of them for
sure. Honey.
So please get those tickets and check them out.
Yes. Forever. Dog. Look, man.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that
culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Ugh. What's a ugh?
The Halloween.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the 27th.
It's a debacle.
October. We've just had a conversation, a quick, cursory little conversation with our guest.
You're angry at me.
No. I'm a little angry at you, but I should be angry at just the system.
I think, thank you so much. I always say, don't be angry at me, be angry at the system. It's rule of culture number 14.
Don't be angry at me, be angry at the system. And it's the system. It's Halloween in New York. It's just, everyone feels, you feel like you have to fall in line with.
It is what it's the bad part about the gay community blown up 100,000 times.
Sure. Well, you're choosing to magnify the
can queer, you tell I'm self-conscious? Yes. I feel as though, like, here's the thing. I have a few costumes I could wear.
Yeah.
I have one slutty costume.
Uh-huh.
It's a little slutty sailor.
What's slutty sailor?
That I got from my shoot with Logo.
Oh, yeah. You got Logo stuff.
So, by the way, Dave Mazzoni and I are doing some videos for Logo, and you guys check them out.
Very fun.
So, they actually, I offhand mentioned that I kind of liked the way I looked in the costume.
Sure.
And then I looked over, and it was on my things at the end of the day. Some PA had been like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, take this home.
They wanted to fuck you.
Perchance.
Yeah.
But...
And
whoever that person is, I celebrate that idea.
Okay.
And you have my number from a call
sheet.
What
are your options?
And then I have Gay Jackson Maine.
Yeah.
Which I said that, and our guest said, well. And so now I don't want to do that.
But aren't you so glad that that our guest?
Absolutely. I think we need more transparency.
A candid response. Yes.
100%. I'm grateful for and thankful for the guest.
And then what was your third?
My third was the one we were going to do together, which was a Killing Eve
Killing
moment.
Eve, sort of best friend's costume.
Of course, you would be Sandra Oh, and I would be Villanelle.
You would be Jodie Comer.
Jodie Comer, famously her name.
25 years old. Can you believe?
Are you fucking
Isn't
serious?
Isn't that fucked up?
That is so fucked up.
She's so good. She's so good.
But here's the thing. I feel like she doesn't have like an iconic look. I would have to
sure.
stay attached to your side at all times.
I know. It is one of those things where it's like if we're decoupled, I would sort of make sense as Sandra, but like everyone
would
be like,
make deep sense.
Are you? But you could just be another Allie. You could be Allie.
Why?
As Jody.
I guess. I mean, I guess. All right.
Okay.
Here's the thing. last year we had a really good costume, and it's going to be hard to top.
We did Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies.
I was Patronata.
And I was
Celeste.
Early episodes Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
Still racked with secrets and guilt.
Sure. We'll figure it out. But I'm so glad that we have this conversation about the culture. And by the time this comes out, it'll be well into November. But...
And here's the thing. Also, I don't want anyone to worry about me, because I know I will turn it out before my first party of the evening.
Absolutely.
Of which there are two. And we're going to see our guest at the second
one. And he's just keeping it simple, streamlined. I love it. He's not falling for it.
Maybe he mouths. We don't know. He's a very creative person.
I love our guest so much.
Deeply.
Have
for many years.
Since Jeffrey and Cole Casserole. With our other lovely, lovely
the
pal,
beloved, beloved Cole Escola.
You
know who was a huge Jeffrey South fan? Henry.
Henry, of course.
Since young.
Since young.
Yeah, since way back. I think, yeah, Jeffrey and Cole Casserole.
Perfect. He is.
And then we were at the same party as Henry Kapersky, my ex. And then we were at the duplex one night. You came, I think, to see, who was it?
What's that?
Pat Regan's show or Catherine Cohen's show.
He wants to talk, so let's just bring him in.
I'm just going to say, Henry said, you have to introduce me to Jeffrey.
Oh, right.
And
he was like, okay, that can
happen.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's being so good about just the decorum of all of this.
Because he gets it.
He gets the biz.
Jeffrey Self gets it. Now say his little credits and then we can go on.
He's an actor, author, celebrated comedian.
Search Party.
Mark on Search Party. Fantastic. Truly like the gay straight man in all of it.
Getting married this season.
Yes. And Elliot is not the straight man at all. And Elliot is just truly insane.
A goofy.
Goofy, but also mentally.
Real John Early type.
And meanwhile, Mark is a huge Jeffrey Self type. But anyway, said his name already. You can read his books, Drag Teen, or A Very, Very Bad Thing. And, Jeffrey Live, I loved. And I hope maybe there's a comeback. But the live space is interesting right
that
now.
That was my first. The live space was huge. But that was my first also introduction to then House Twink, now star of Heather's
Brendan Scannell. Oh my God, House Twink.
Fell in love.
And just iconic role in 30 Rock. One of like the
I love the, and I didn't even know this was Jeffrey until years later. And I was like, who was that?
Liz Lemon's gay cousin. Randy?
Yeah.
Randall.
I'm talking now.
Oh my God, I'm broken. It is Jeffrey Self.
I wasn't sure when we could talk.
I know. We're so sorry. We
asked you a direct question.
Well, I really respect the decorum of podcasts, famously.
Thank you for doing that. No one does anymore.
Yeah. No. They don't, you know,
these days.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm such a fan of you guys.
Jeffrey. Okay. Talk about your Halloween plan.
So we're all going to see each other at a party in mere hours. I don't know. I was kind of excited because I had no Halloween plans and I thought, okay, great. No one's going to get their shit together. I'm not going to have to do anything.
Rock. Yeah.
But then someone planned something and now I feel like I actually have to do something because I always show up at Halloween parties not in a costume. And then I feel even more uncomfortable.
I think it's worse to be the person who looks like they A, don't care, or B, thought they were too cool. You never want to be that
person.
And
is smug enough to be like, well, my costume is me. You know?
Some pithy
thing. Right when I said that, I had something that I was going to use for I don't think so, honey. Mm-hmm, later, mm-hmm. But I might actually do what I was just about to say for that because I have a strong feeling about it. But anyway, I find Halloween very overwhelming. I loved it as a kid. I thought it was great.
Yes,
Mimi from the Drew Carey Show was among many
Mimi.
Wonderful, memorable costumes. But
oh my
nowadays,
God.
I agree. There's a pressure within the gays, especially.
Yeah.
I was looking at Instagram stories last night and just pissed off at every click.
Just imagine.
Do you want to know what it is for me? It's like, I actually end up sort of, and I say this and don't get upset. Okay. I end up sort of nailing it every year.
Oh,
do you?
Matt.
Yes.
I mean, as someone who's followed you for a while, I don't know.
BuzzFeed, gay BuzzFeed one time put me on a list for best Halloween costume. This is so fucking basic.
Imagine remembering this. remember this too.
I was gay Harry Potter.
I mean, sure. Hasn't you and like literally 5,000 people?
I know,
sex
but
5,000 is conservative,
and he's only had sex with 5,003. But no,
what
I mean,
did you? I mean,
I had the scar. Henry was Malfoy, and yes. It was a really hot, like, ooh, Malfoy and Harry Potter,
sure, like,
go home and
fanfic,
finger each other, yeah, scenario.
I'm not a Harry Potter person, really. I don't really know the whole mythology.
Love well, that. Harry Potter was a wizard.
Yeah, I know that much. Mm-hmm.
And he was famously straight. And then famously, your spin on
was
it was gay.
And actually, that's my spin on Jackson Maine tonight was going
to
be gay.
Yeah, so let's go circle back to that. Like, okay. I mean, because that, were you going to be Allie?
No, there was no plan for it to be a friend's.
Well, he's sticking to his.
Why
thing.
Not Allie?
I feel like there's going to be a million Allies.
Catherine Cohen's going to be Allie.
Wait, what Allie, though? Are we talking?
That was a question that she had.
Got it.
There's, and I said that's why it's a really good dynamic costume, because you could even have like a night of Allies.
You really could do so many changes and reveals.
You could be the first time we see pop star Allie, which is the red hair and that hideous little blue dress.
Yeah.
You could have Always Remember Us This Way, yes. Allie in that white kind of iconic pantsuit.
I'm more into like the leather jacket, the long sort of natural dark hair,
I agree.
Like yelling at the father in the really forced Italian accent.
Yeah. Also, there is, of course, I'll Never Love Again, Allie, which is a kind of iconic look if you have the gown.
And then there's that orange wig that they reveal that wasn't in the trailer, but then, you know, made a big appearance.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of options. We're just walking through the costumes.
We're just
of
walking
the Star
of a Star
Born
is Born. You know what? I will do Andrew Dice Clay, if you if you do Allie, I'll be Andrew Dice Clay.
And if you do Blue Jasmine, I'll do Andrew Dice Clay when he accosts her on the street in Blue Jasmine.
Oh my God.
I think we should all just do VMAs, Andrew Dice Clay, and be really homophobic.
Yeah.
Let's do
that. Night of Andrew Dice Clay is not a bad
thing. That is a Andrew Dice very intriguing thing.
Very fun.
Well, you know who's going to nail it? Whichever gay decides to go as Gail.
Gail.
Like, hi, Allie, I'm Gail.
Yeah.
Like, the person who leads her out onto the stage.
Gail
is the woman who gets her out of the car at the show. Gail is a gay icon.
Gail is a gay icon. I have missed the Twitter boat on Gail, I guess.
Gail is the is one of three female characters in that whole
in
movie.
The whole film.
Oh, my God, you're
Think
right.
Think about it. Because Shangela doesn't
so
count.
Depressing.
So it's Gaga, it's Chappelle's wife.
Uh-huh.
And it's Gail. And it's she's the clipboard lady who leads her from the car.
Do we know the actress's name?
No,
but she's like really broken through in like a niche way. But amongst people that think she's an icon, it's kind of...
It's very Iral Sue from like Stranger Things.
That's what I was about to say. What's her... Okay.
Right? Sue? That was the name?
Oh, no. Barb.
But see,
so is she going to like end up in like a Greg Berlanti show within minutes?
I think it's not huge for her career, however this
I'm in.
And then you know who I found out auditioned for that part? Casey Wilson.
Wait, Casey Wilson auditioned for Gail?
She said that she said on
Bitch Sesh.
Apparently, like that she had auditioned for that role
that's
of Gail.
Very
Unless
funny.
That was a joke, and I think that's a very funny joke.
It's either way, it's brilliant.
Either way,
thank
I like
you,
it.
Casey.
Thank you, Casey.
Jeffrey, are you like okay? You're firmly team LA at LA campus.
Well, so I mean, it's very hard to discuss with people like you guys because I feel like you are such ambassadors for like gay New York.
Well, here's the thing. I actually saw you out in LA, and I was having a great time.
Well, no, I mean, I mean, it's not like we don't have fun there.
No.
It's a fabulous fun.
It's a fun place. Listen, I lived here for 6 years, mm-hmm. but I moved here when I was like 17.
Yeah.
And so it felt like when I left, I was like still broke and like came to LA and realized you could be still broke in LA and have a better life.
Oh, that's huge.
And I've kind of like remained with that. But also New York just stresses me out. I feel like I stay out all night. I sleep all day. Like all the boring, you know, things. Have you ever lived in LA?
I spent about a month there this summer, all told. Because we were out there for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And then I went back for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I was out there for a while.
And
that was the largest chunk of time.
Long Island.
And
then where are you?
Colorado.
So it's a little more the same vibe, I guess.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Look, they're both great places. Everybody's back and forth. You know, if you have, there's places to avoid in both places.
Yeah.
Love that.
I don't, you know, we none of us are like hanging around the like, you know, muscle queens of Hell's Kitchen, really.
Sure.
And none of us are really hanging around the muscle queens of West Hollywood.
Right. Wow. I think I might do January through March in LA. I might do the whole thing.
You mean pilot season?
No, I wasn't going to give it. I wasn't going to just give pilot season that whole chunk of the year, but
go
I guess it has earned that. Go out to the coast. I might. So now I'm kind of like happy to have had that time there in the summer to acclimate to it because it characteristically has made me very stressed out.
Yeah, I get that. Once you like get past it though, I think it like becomes really groovy.
Yeah.
Great. And you have roots planted there now anyway. Like you're yeah. literally married.
I'm literally married. I, you know, like I like having like a boring a grown-up life there. Mm,
that's
whereas
fun.
I can't figure out how to do that here. How and is... I cuz I think it's just too expensive.
Totally.
Yeah, I think like now that you like have the husband and are actualized, I think like that seems like LA is a very good kind of zone. It made me kind of, I got my like FOMO really roared out when I was in LA.
In LA, because you felt like isolated and you're wherever you were staying.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
And I was like, if I'm trying to get somewhere, it might yeah. take a long time.
See, that's why I like it, because mm-hmm. I don't like leaving the house. Mm-hmm. I'm very like, I'm such a like introvert.
Homebody.
I'm such a nerd. And I just, I'm such a nerd about my couch. And I really like not leaving the house. Yeah. So it's good. It's very good to like, and I live like far out in like Culver City where no one else lives.
Gorgeous.
So yeah, sure. And just only,
oh yeah, that is far.
Only the best. Only and the no, best. It's really far. So it's like great for no one ever drops by. No one ever, like no one ever wants to come over.
Yeah.
Wow. And then like you can be, you don't ever have to go to other people's. It's great. It's mm. great. It's great.
What does husband do? Augustus?
Augustus Prue. He is an actor.
Actor.
He is,
actor,
a, yes. he is a fancy, like, real person actor.
Amazing.
What has Augustus British. Been in?
Well, he had, well, he's, as a child, he was in About a Boy.
Oh!
He was Rachel Weisz. Is that Rachel Weisz?
Weisz.
Is that who's in that movie? I always get her.
About
confused.
A Boy was it's, Hugh.
Yeah. He plays the other little boy who's
okay.
like,
she's not the boy.
He's not the boy. That's Nick Holt. Yeah. And then the other boy.
Oh my
boy,
God, that was Nicholas Holt.
That's yeah. crazy.
And then the other boy is Augustus. Rachel Weisz's son. And yet he's like, he gets like jealous that, of Hugh Grant dating his mom. He's
wow.
That's a meaty role.
It was a meaty role. So that was his first thing. And then he, he's, you know, he had a show on CBS last year called Pure Genius. It was a medical
yes.
procedural that he was the lead of.
Uh-huh.
It was not very good.
But
and it did, and it got canceled. And then he was also on one of the leads on the reboot of Prison Break.
Oh, love hell that. Yeah.
Sexy. Yeah. And he was cellmates with Wentworth Miller. How hot is that?
How did that go?
They never had sex.
Oh, shit.
I know. I was very
sorry. And characters never had sex? Real life never
well,
had sex?
All of the above.
All of the above. It never yeah. happened.
Would have been fun to have
fictionally
one
or non-fictionally.
At nor did I ever get to have dinner with Wentworth Miller. I was really greasing the wheel for that.
What a wasted moment.
What
I gotta,
a waste of a husband's career.
What a waste
career.
Of a husband's career. I yeah. gotta wonder what who Wentworth Miller's gays are. What his little coterie of queers is.
I think he found them late, Bo.
I think he found them late, and I really? Don't think there's room for a Jeffrey self-type.
I think that you're wrong about that.
I don't
I think
know.
There's always
think,
room for a Jeffrey
I think
self-type.
It could be, I think it could be a little polarizing for him. I don't know. I don't know Wentworth Miller's gayness.
I think that his gayness is very like, well, I don't want to pass judgment on him, but he certainly was one of those gays that came out late,
sure,
and
sure.
was really
like
trying,
all of us,
like all of
trying
us.
To do the exactly trying to do the actor thing, and like I he to me is like a Matt Dallas.
Who is
Who's
that?
Matt Dallas. Oh,
Kyle XY. Matt,
yeah, oh. Kyle XY, and he has a hot husband, and they have a kid.
Fucking
and,
hot husband. Yeah. They have a kid. And now he's like happily gay.
And I like met them. Ran into. I didn't even meet them. I like bumped into them at some sort of party, and like. Was like so attracted to them
yeah.
and then like DM'd one of them when I was like really stoned on Instagram. It was like
gorgeous.
So great with chatting last night, like we really got to get together and like I you know we want to have kids one day, so I'd love to like you know talk to you about your family. No, we did not talk about any of this. Like I yeah. just was trying
did they
to
respond
have... no and I think he saw it
Mark.
You know just
he saw it and saw through it.
Do you guys do a lot of stone DMs?
To be honest with you, I probably do it more than I should, and it always is an altered state.
It's not good. I'm trying to get better about it.
I can't help myself. When I have a crush on a guy, I'm talking to them in the DMs.
Well, here's the thing. It's like the apps are dead and DMs are the way.
The DMs are the way.
And we all know it too, so it's transparent no matter what.
Yes, and I follow so many. Like, and mostly they are people I've never met and probably will never meet.
Right,
yeah.
Because they're like models who live in other countries.
Right.
But
isn't it fun to be like, hi?
Yes.
I'll tell you, we covered Vulture Festival for Vulture. Cool.
Okay.
And,
yeah, it'd be weird if you were covering it for Vanity Fair.
We were here for Vanity Fair just sitting there. But we met my crush.
Who was your crush?
Jonathan Groff.
Jonathan Groff.
Okay, walk me through it.
Okay, so
because I've actually never met Jonathan Groff. I say that actually.
Here's
but, like,
literally what happened. So we're there, and I'm nervous because it's Jonathan Groff, and I've talked about my crush on Jonathan Groff.
And you can't DM him because he's not on social.
Not even on social. He's one of those.
Yeah.
So he's coming in, and he's like talking to his co-stars because we're interviewing him for Mindhunter, which I couldn't give a fuck less about.
Yeah,
truly.
Fuck off.
So I go to him. I'm like, hey, so pretend you're me and say, hey, I'm Matt.
Okay. Hey, I'm Matt.
Jonathan.
Ooh, that's a firm handshake. We're still holding hands, by the way.
Mm. And then my hand melted in his.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I had to like pull it away.
And like cum came out of your fingers.
Yeah. It was very overwhelming. And then I think we did like a D+ interview with them.
Yeah, it was not.
Didn't say goodbye to us.
Was
Yeah. It was very
It wasn't like a winning interview of
the day. Was his vibe sexy though?
He has a confident vibe. He knows how hot he is.
He's confidence.
Yeah.
He's a confident vibe, but also like this, there's some, and this is also equal, it just adds to the charm in a way, but also to me, I was like, oh, you're just like a dorky dude.
He was talking about musical theater with one of his co-stars, and it
love
was like,
that.
It was
that
like,
feels like someone like would write that in a script about
right.
Jonathan Groff.
Right, exactly.
An
like, and he's normal too, but like it kind of, I got the vibe from him where it's like, okay, he's, seems far away because he's Jonathan Groff, and I do think there probably is like, you know, not an ego there because he knows how charismatic and hot he is, but there doesn't exist a world where we could not be friends, you know what I mean? It was like that.
That's your number, is he your number one crush?
He is up there, but I don't know,
he's always top of mind for you.
I love him.
I have never ever once seen him in anything because I'm so frustrated by how hot he is and his success.
I have to tell you something.
So I'm too jealous to watch his work.
Yeah. He's so talented.
Yeah, like, I've never seen him do anything. Never watched an episode of Looking, Mind, whatever that is. Yeah.
I could not care less about Mindhunter, but I did watch, I slogged through Looking. It had its high points and low points.
Sure.
Largely wasn't great, but I think
I'm sure
fantastic.
It might have been a great show. I literally cannot watch things with him in it because
Have you seen Frozen?
I get to no.
There you go.
Wow.
Oh, so you really have avoided him.
I mean, I've seen like the clips of
you've seen Let It Go.
Let It Go, sure. I'm not a fucking monster.
Yeah.
But like yeah.
I have a question I'd like to pose.
Okay.
Are we as a gay culture getting better about gay jealousy?
Ugh, I'm not.
Really?
I don't think so.
I'm trying.
I think I am.
I'm trying.
I'm gonna
so
say
hard.
That I'm doing great.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, we're all sitting here. No one's hit each other yet.
No one wants to kill each other.
I mean, it's hard because I don't know. I think we DM'd about this the other day because you had a video thing about like people being mean in comments.
Yes,
and
yes.
trying to pit you two against each other.
Yeah, and you reached out.
Yes, and because that drives me. That used to happen to me and Colin, like when we were doing the stuff for Logo, and like. And it just would drive me crazy because it's just so pointless. And it's like, why?
Yeah,
it's coming from someone trying to think they're like funny.
And they want
to
get our attention.
And they want to get our attention.
It's like, look, I can sass it up too, bitch.
Totally.
It's like, no, thank you. But I think I think we're getting somewhat better at gay jealousy. I'm still working on it though, man. Still can't. I get so jealous of everybody. Of things I don't even do. Like, I was jealous of Adam Rippon. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't skate. I'm never going to skate.
Well, here's what bothered me about the Rippon thing is that then it seemed like he was like trying to transition into comedy.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you don't get to do this.
No,
I mean, like,
I
look,
was worried about that.
I think that you are charismatic and good at interviews. And like once in a while, yes, yeah, you can tweet a tweet.
Sure.
But that to me was like, the world in which I think the person inside me that sees the entertainment industry and feels like there's only so many spots is like, if one of those spots were to be occupied by Adam Rippon in a comedic manner, I would be bothered.
That's true. Like I got like really jealous when he was like, I think recently on Will and Grace, and I got jealous.
Right.
But I'm sure he was like playing himself. And like, and again, he's like probably 10 years younger than I am. He is a literal like Olympian. You know, there's like, there's very little like
overlap. He's
overlap
gorgeous in white. You know what I mean? Like there's so much room for that kind of thing, especially because he's already famous. And but you know, I think he'll probably settle into like a commentator career,
sure,
which is what he should be doing. Like you see what Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski have been able to do.
What
that's
a thrill.
Fascinating.
And he hasn't like, you know, beaten the shit out of his husband,
right?
Wait, did Johnny do that?
That was allegedly, I think.
Johnny,
was like,
I think there's some darkness with Johnny.
There was like a whole paparazzi
paparazzi
tabloid story of him like beating, I think, like, literally, like, he beat his husband.
Oh, no.
There's something. There's some darkness. And I think they had a very ugly divorce. And I do know this because he was on that Twink Medium.
Wait, what? Twink Medium.
Oh, Hollywood Medium.
Tyler.
We're going to call it Twink Medium.
Okay, Twink. What's his name? Twink Psychic.
Tyler Henry,
yeah.
He was on Twink Psychic. Yeah. And
what a great title. So why did they not title it that?
Honestly, I'm just going to write my own show called Twink Psychic.
That's brilliant.
So basically, like, he was on that show and they talked about the divorce and, like, the divorce was, like, somehow coming through, like, the other ghosts come through and the Twink Psychic.
Wait,
was,
yeah, the divorce is a ghost?
The
Twink Psychic was like.
When you really think about it.
It's not just ghost. It's not just ghost. He can also, like, he's also, like, empathic.
Okay.
So he basically was like, I'm sensing, like, a lot of darkness, like, you went through a divorce. And he was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've read page six once.
Well, allegedly, he's never read anything about any celebrity, which is a jump that I, it's
Right. Well, I love it when he has, like, the celebrities that, like, you yourself as the audience member are like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That's really fun.
But also, then sometimes he'll have some, that show will book some huge celebrities. Like,
and some random.
Yeah, it's, it'll go from, like, a huge celebrity to like
Brittany Gastineau to like Lil Kim.
Yeah. Well, that would be big for him. I feel
he did. He had Lil Kim, and he
was
one of the
demons.
He was one of the few people that flat out he recognized right away.
Oh, that's good.
He knew Lil Kim, even with her like third
face. I bet she had some ghosts.
Biggie. He talked to Biggie.
Look, I'm not gonna say they didn't say why Biggie died or who killed Biggie. But they kept saying in the previews, it was like the end of the episode, obviously.
Sure.
So he was like, do you have any questions? And she was like, I mean, I think everyone would want to know who shot him. And it was
Holy
like when they were
shit.
Teasing it.
Oh, my God.
And then he, I think, at the end of the episode, and I could be wrong about this because I don't fully remember, but he did say, it's not coming through who, but I will say that there was like, hints leading up to the in the days before who it could be, like, you guys probably could figure this out if you really think about what happened in the days before.
That's not an answer.
She said something like, yes, it was really weird, like, he called us all into the recording studio and made us all sit in the same room and told us all to be careful, like, and then she kind of like said all this shit about how it was in the air that something was going to happen. Mm. But it was very bizarre.
That is very bizarre. And also, wouldn't it be crazy if Tyler Henry is the person who figured out who shot
Honestly,
Biggie?
I was like,
I thought you were going to say, wouldn't it be crazy if Tyler Henry was the person who shot Biggie?
That would be way more interesting.
Truly goofy.
Let's write it.
You know which one of the hardest ones to watch was actually Gus Kenworthy. Because he was on and he described how he actually was witness to one of his friends dying when he was a teen, and it was like his best friend, and like he got him to open up about it. I'm telling you, this Tyler Henry twink,
he's got, I
the
mean,
twink psychic is good.
The power of the twink, babe.
Yes. Listen, this is the year of the twink, they say.
All the perfume genius.
Wasn't that last year?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Right.
Good.
Perfume genius said that now that he's no longer a twink, no one is, and that the age of the twink is over.
Wait, but why is
it was like a, it was like a funny tweet, but like he was like, no, but it was very solipsistic. It was very like, now that I'm no longer a twink, no one can be. And
but he is a twink still.
He absolutely is a twink.
Yeah, he's so cute.
How do you identify?
I used to identify as a twink.
I'm an aged twink.
I think I'm an aged twink.
There has to be a name for it.
I hate the twunk.
I don't like twunk. I almost felt myself say it, and I was like, don't
it's
say
just,
that.
Yeah.
I kind of like wolf.
Well, I think that's a whole other situation.
Fox.
Not fox. Get away. Yeah.
Because we can't be saying fox. It totally conjures up memories of Megyn Kelly's.
Yeah, and I picture more like Silver Fox.
That's
Silver
true.
Fox.
How do you identify?
I don't, a Gaysian, but there's no like specificity.
Right.
But that's the disgusting community doing that to
totally.
You.
Totally.
Yeah,
I don't
well,
really
we're,
know.
Look at it. We're doing it to ourselves.
Sure. Absolutely.
We are the community.
We are the community. But I think we're at a place where we can culturally help. Not us as like a podcast, but
no,
like,
I think the three of us right now,
can help fix this thing of gay jealousy. And look, it's all
I do too.
There.
I think it's something that's like a really good like overall thing to try to like be mindful of because it is. I mean, even I have friends who are like, I'm not jealous, but clearly they're
You're jealous.
It's a big thing.
Yes.
And I think it's why, you know, there's so much like, you know, infighting within gay people.
We're not going to sit here and ignore the fact that there was a large chunk of time, I think probably in us earlier coming up, like where it didn't feel like there were too many spots.
Yes.
And
yes.
So sometimes I will book something and they'll flat out say to me like, you know, John couldn't do this.
Yeah.
Or like Joel couldn't do this.
Right,
or like,
right.
You know, this person couldn't do this. And we love you.
Yeah.
But they make it sort of clear that I was like, the sixth runner up.
Oh yeah. I've experienced that a lot.
So it's like it's, and I don't think they're meaning to say like, I think what they're trying to do is be like, we know all your friends. Mm-hmm. But as a roundabout way of in doing that, they're kind of like saying,
like,
you know,
there was
a gay role on here and we thought of the most famous quote unquote person for it.
Right.
Hmm.
But I definitely think that's not any of our fault.
Have you been jealous of the Queer Eye guys?
Yes.
Because they're so world famous. Well,
but not even jealous, but also just confounded in this way that it's like, oh, Antony's doing a set, is hosting a show at New York Comedy
Festival. Well, what the hell is
well,
that?
No,
I
he's
going
to be
side.
The foil to Jonathan.
Okay. Sure, yeah. But like, okay. That doesn't mean he knows how to be on a stage in front of people.
I think he probably does know how
well,
to be on a stage in front of people.
Wasn't he an actor? I think
he was an actor. He did UCB classes. No, I'm sure he's,
oh, he
I'm sure he's
UCB
great. Antony's perfect. We love
no,
him.
No, stop. You don't have to do that.
But,
what,
yeah,
you guys
sure.
do a show though as them or something? Or?
Oh,
well,
yeah,
we
yeah,
do
yeah.
this. It's not as them. It's basically it's called Queer Eye Live, where we basically all pick one of the things. Like I'm the food and
oh,
wine
that's
person,
fun.
And we
yeah,
pull
yeah,
someone
yeah.
up on stage, and we kind of give them the. Queer
and you
Eye
do
movie.
It live,
and we do it live.
It's
oh,
live.
That's fun.
Yeah. We
I
just
love
did
that.
It at the Bell House last
it's,
week.
It's Zach Zimmerman's brainchild, lovely guy. He pulled us in.
Do you guys do live shows like every night? I feel like your Instagram is always like, I'm here, I'm doing this. This is where
oftentimes feels like it happens to get booked all on the same time. Like last week we happened to have three shows. I happened to have three shows
in a row.
And I was like, God, I feel insufferable on Instagram right now. But it's not like every fucking
No. And it's not I'm not saying the promotion's insufferable.
Right.
I would pull you aside, don't worry. But
but
you just I'm impressed. You're so busy.
I think it's like one of those things.
It's a thing where you don't post your failures. You only post.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a big New York versus LA difference, I think. It's
really?
Like, I feel like, well, I guess there are people in LA who are doing shows every night. I'm just lazy.
New York feels like busier.
It does. Yeah.
I think
for better or for worse, because in LA, you're just like, oh, cool. I'm just going to be chilling at home with my friends.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could go to a show at the Virgil every night,
but
like
who's,
I'm not doing that.
Totally.
I feel like in New York, it's like the New York pace of life. It's like, I'm doing this. Look, I'm doing this. Whereas the LA pace of life is like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's, I'm sorry. I don't get
I don't
the
really
signal.
Like it's like I think it's more chill and focused. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And then in New York, it's like, I'm doing this and this and this.
Yeah.
It's an energy thing.
Yeah.
Are you basically just pooped out every day in New York? Like after like you shoot, you're just like, okay,
well, I mean, on the search party is so great. Cause like I come for like long periods of time and then I only shoot like one day a week.
Love it.
And it's great. But then you can like, you're here and you can avoid people by saying like, oh, I'm shooting the whole time.
Yes.
Reality, I'm just at the apartment watching TV. But that's nice. Yeah, it does. But it does. It stresses me the fuck out here.
That's the dream.
That is the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think my dream in life is to do as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
for the maximum amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
I always
say
the reason why I want to be successful is so I can be on vacation all the time.
Yeah, like I would be totally fine with my husband like just fully supporting me.
Yeah.
Kept boy.
I would love to be. I tried desperately to be a kept boy for most of my early 20s in New York and it never
title
paid off.
So funny.
Kept boy.
Kept boy. I think... But, like, theoretically, you would just find someone who'd be like, yes, you're staying with me.
But you're saying aspirationally in your 20s, that was a
that
thing.
Was a thing. I mean, but I also actually wanted to accomplish stuff. Now I feel like I'm like, okay, I would, like, happily, like, if my husband were to be like, in my dream scenario, like, my husband becomes... like Tom Holland, which would require like a time machine for him to go backwards, but
it
can happen. And so he would be like Spider-Man and he'd have like just tons and tons of money and I would just travel the world with him.
Love
I know that.
That
sounds really just sad and just basic, but
I'm in too, actually. Especially because you said Tom Holland and I've been like short-circuiting in my brain. I think he's so fucking
hot. Oh my
hot.
God, he's
cute.
So hot.
He's so hot. And he's so good.
Just a cute face.
He's in a cute little tight little body. And also,
cute,
he's such a good Spider-Man.
Very good Spider-Man.
Like,
very.
They really figured it out with him.
And he does not strain for the American accent. He can,
no.
He can
no,
do
he's
it.
Just
That's
does
true.
It.
Yeah, he just does it. And you're like, yeah, he's a boy from Queens. I love that. Love
Tom.
Actually,
just a boy from Queens.
Just a boy from Queens.
He's doing the nanny reboot.
Marissa Tomei is my fucking hot aunt.
So funny.
Oh, I actually have not seen a single one of those movies again because he's so hot. I don't want to watch it.
I hear you on that.
Spider-Man: Homecoming is a great movie.
It's really good.
And that's all about a homecoming dance.
It truly, I mean, it leads up to a homecoming dance, but it's,
no, really,
it does.
But it's real good. The twists, baby, are very good.
There are twists galore.
Okay, yes.
And it also really, it works as like a weird high school movie and also a superhero movie.
Yeah. It pulls it off in a really good way. Anyway.
I think we're the only three gay men sitting around a table discussing Spider-Man Homecoming.
I think
right
that
now.
There actually is a whisper network of gay nerds who have seen the movie and yes. will talk about it.
Oh,
but they.
I bet. I mean, Joel Kim Booster is literally jacking off right now, I think, at home listening to this.
Oh, is he a big comic
he
book person?
He loves comic books. Book movies. What
really?
Did I say with him? We went to go see, he and I went to go see Justice League together.
I don't know what any of that means.
it's the fucking Marvel Avengers, but with Batman and those gays.
Oh, go away.
Yeah.
Oh, go away.
I don't want that.
You actually don't think you want it? I mean, the movie was like a perfect 5 out of 10, but I'll tell you who was also good in that. Is Ezra Miller.
Ezra Miller as the Flash.
Oh, speaking of cute twinks.
Speaking of cute bi twinks.
I know. He's real sexy. Again,
so
someone I get very jealous of. Mm. But again, no crossover whatsoever. But I think ultimately the jealousy also comes from like, I want to like have sex with this person.
Absolutely.
And it's
that is okay.
Maybe
so
that's the root
that's
of
what
it.
That's what it is, Bo.
This is the, yes, we've gotten to the, thank you, Jeffrey. We've gotten to the bottom of this is, conflating feelings of jealousy with feelings of attraction.
Yeah, wanting to fuck what you want to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why social media makes it all so much worse.
Right.
Have you guys social media these days and the devices?
And the devices. Kids? Oh my God.
Unfortunately, yeah.
How do you navigate?
How do you do it?
How do you do it?
I truly wish I had the answer, babe. I'm a slave to the stuff.
Are you? I'm off of Twitter now.
Yes.
Really?
Well, I didn't get rid of my profile, but I don't, I got off my phone, I got it off my computer.
How you doing?
Fully deleted all Facebook. Like,
yes.
Oh, forget that.
That was in like a manic moment, and I was just like, I'm getting rid of it. It was like, don't you want to download these like 12 years of history you have on here? And I was like, no, fuck no.
Get rid of
fully
it.
Downloaded it. Now I'm like, why didn't I download that stuff? That would have taken 5 minutes, but oh well.
well, you can activate it again.
Yeah,
very easily.
And then again in a manic episode, I deleted my Twitter profile, again the next day was like, okay, well that was crazy, right? So reactivated but deleted the app. And it's great. I love not being on Twitter. It's so fucking nice. And I'm on Instagram, but I try to like go 3 weeks and then I delete it off my phone for 2 weeks and then I re-download it.
Love that.
I do Twitter and Instagram, not Facebook.
But then for you to have gone gone through this clean break,
yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily like, I'm sure, like, you were in a manic episode, but, But, like,
honey.
But I feel like there was just this collective cultural
Thing enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I realized I don't really know what I do on Twitter anymore. I was like, what am I doing to this conversation?
What am I adding?
I try to just make sure that it's always stays light and, like, a funny little comment about whatever trending story is happening. I do like it as, like, a little joke machine, I guess. But I certainly don't want to get earnest on it.
Sure.
And how often are you on Instagram?
Constantly.
Instagram is my drug of choice.
Yeah. How many times a day do you think?
I mean, we see each other on there. I mean, like, I, it seems like your drug of choice too.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of drugs of choice,
right.
But the Instagram is one of them. Sure.
Yeah, we can find out on iPhones now. You can do screen time where it just
really.
Jesus,
tells
I'm so
you.
Hard. I'm so scared of this.
Let me just see.
Instagram is the one. I enjoy putting the stories together. I like posting I like posting pictures. I like how it's visual.
I fucking love the Q&A. I hate to say it.
You know what? I like the Q&A too.
And I have shame about it every time I do it. I'm like, this is so self-indulgent. I'm so stupid. But it's so fun.
It's so
I like
fun.
The Q&A
it's
too.
Not that self-indulgent because they have just democratized this for everyone to be able to do this.
That's true.
And so it's just, it's for everyone. So,
but there are every so often someone you follow does it and you're like, why do anyone want to ask you a question?
Well, you know what it is? It's like when someone does 50 in a row. And especially when they set the thing of like, ask me about this thing, and this thing is not something you're interested in.
That's
it's like,
true.
Well, I don't care about this now.
Okay, so my daily average over the last 7 days on Instagram, an hour and 55 minutes. 2 hours on Instagram a day?
A day? Oh, that's not as bad terrible. As I thought you were going to say.
A day?
A day. And on Tuesday, this Tuesday, I was on it for 3 hours.
What happened on Tuesday?
I'm not sure.
The DMV?
The DMV, honey. Oh,
wait,
Tuesday.
How do you find this out?
You needed to have the newest iOS.
Good thing
good thing I'm poor.
it's free. I just want people to know that it's fine. I don't think that's
I looked over at Emma, producer Emma, and she kind of raised her eyebrows.
Hot producer Emma raised her eyebrows. You think it's a lot?
I think 2 hours out of the 24 of the day, honey, that's 1/12 of your day was spent looking at an app.
And honey, that's not a bad fraction.
But yeah,
don't fraction shame me.
Because that's like, it's added together, right?
Yes,
total
cumulative.
Dumb.
Right,
I bet yours is more.
Mine is definitely.
I feel like you post more.
I post. I have been moved to post.
But this is the thing. So Jeffrey, as someone who like was very much like mired in the social media thing of
very
it, where you were just like, oh, I will have a show that lives on social media.
Yeah.
On the face.
The Facebook Live thing. Well, I mean, that was ultimately just because like I had literally nothing else going on.
Love it.
And was, you know, Facebook Live was a new
option. I loved that show. I thought it was so cool.
It was so fun.
The way you did it.
It was so fun. I loved doing it with Brendan Scannell, who we all love. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, it was just like a lot of fucking work. And like, you know, again, you're like, I'm just screaming into the ether. And is anyone hearing this?
There you go.
You had such good guests too.
We had really good. We had Selma Blair. Yes.
Icon, a true icon.
Who plays Brendan Scannell's mom on the Heather's reboot. Have you watched it yet?
I'm planning to binge it all at once.
Yes.
It's so good.
And by the time this episode comes out, I will have watched it.
It's so good.
It's on like night three right now.
And then the boy who plays the lead, like the hot jock boy, is so cute. James Scully. He's a friend of mine as well.
Ooh.
I need that.
He's very cute.
I need more hot boys.
I don't know how he identifies.
See, now I'm just jealous of anybody.
He's good on the show. No, yeah, it's really, really good.
Love that.
I can't wait. I was excited about it when it was first announced, and I was crushed when I heard that it wasn't going to be coming out. And
isn't
I'm very
so
excited.
Stupid.
Well, the whole thing is dumb because it's like, first of all, crazy. What did you think you were getting when you ordered Heather's?
Yeah.
Heather's is about what it's about.
Yes.
And if you didn't want that, then don't order that. And also, I'm sorry, but it wasn't like there hadn't been school shootings prior to the order of that show.
Totally.
I mean,
and meanwhile, like USA is literally making a TV show of The Purge. You know, like, it's so.
I also think it's a complete misunderstanding of the tone of the original film,
yes.
which is deeply black comedy and satirical.
Yes.
And I think it's like that's what this was going to be, and very stylized.
Yes,
it's
super stylized,
and it's like you can't just. And this is a thing I think that we all have to kind of come around to or like start talking about more is it's like, you know, when it comes to art, it's like, think about it. It's like, it might actually have a comment on this thing.
Right.
If you let it.
If you actually let it do that. Yeah. Totally. I love just talking about art with you.
it's been the highlight of my
art on the Paramount Network is my favorite thing.
Art on the Paramount Network. Ooh, what else is there, baby? So much. We love the Paramount Network.
Obviously.
Wait,
so many things on it.
Anything you can, before we get into like more central questions of the show,
okay.
our show,
absolutely.
Anything you can tell us about Search Party this season, or no?
We all know about that. We all know there's going to be a wedding.
I think everybody knows there's going to be a very, very, very big wedding, a big wedding
with two iconic wedding planners, Drew Drogi and Sam Pankey.
Yes,
saw the photos. It looks amazing.
And there are some other really, really iconic gay people in it. I think you're allowed to know. Yeah, you know that Cole Scola is in the wedding episode.
Cole Scola is in the wedding episode. I think perchance Jill Kimbooster might be in the wedding episode.
I believe he is. It's Sabrina Jalise wrote the wedding episode.
She wrote that episode.
Iconic gay.
She's going to be in it. Yes, everyone's fave.
I know Sabrina was writing for Search Party.
Yeah, she wrote on it this season.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very fun, and it's a really really big wedding episode, and. Yeah, I don't know how much more I'm allowed to say.
Okay, but that's good enough.
But there are big.
And you guys have Louis
Anderson's in so,
Louis
this
Anderson?
Season. Yes, I met him the other day. He was
the
amazing.
He's the lawyer.
He's Drew's lawyer. Yeah,
love it.
And Michaela Watkins is on it. This
Michaela
season.
Watkins. Oh, yeah, I did see that they were posting that Michaela Watkins was.
Yes.
On it.
Yeah, that she's amazing. Yeah. She's so good.
What a good fucking show.
And you're in episode 4. You said
I have a tiny little part in episode 4, and we'll take this out if they end up cutting it because it's one of those things that could get cut.
Oh. Well,
I don't think it'll get cut.
No.
After some of the things you were saying off mic about the show and how the process was, I can report back that
my relationship with Charles Rogers and Jay Duplass, director, was really positive. And
what did Jay Duplass direct that episode?
Did.
He's so sexy.
He's so fucking hot. That's and crazy. I have to tell you,
okay. You fucked him.
So I fucked. But it was weird because I have always thought he was so sexy.
Yeah, it's so
and then
weird.
And seeing him in person.
So weird.
Such a weirdo.
When I saw him in person, I was like, this holds up.
This.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, what did you think? You were going to see him in person?
Excuse me, don't erase.
Name one person who you think is really hot, and then you see them in person, and they weren't. Like, a celebrity.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because, like, you've
honestly
seen Jada Paws in, like,
right.
Many incarnations.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's unassumingly sexy. That's what I mean. You know who's fucking hot in person?
Who?
Who's so, also so hot on screen? Who? Justin Theroux. Remember when we met him?
I saw him in Central Park, or not Central Park, watching the Square Park the other day, walking his dog. So
he's so
insanely
hot,
sexy.
And his eyes, when he's a genuinely, like, nice person, and his eyes, when he smiles, his eyes twinkle.
Yeah, but you guys are just describing hot people.
Just in general.
Well, why don't you just go?
Who also happen to be hot in person. And Jay Duplass is not... what did you say? He was unassumingly hot?
In person, he was unassumingly hot.
He fucks a pop star in Transparent. Like, he's...
That's true.
Whatever.
Okay.
You guys are so stupid.
We are really dumb.
So dumb.
I'm just saying.
Are you both single?
Yes, I'm very single.
Are you both dating?
Yeah, and oh my God, you want to know something? I got dumped for something that wasn't that serious, but it just was drawn out for 6
months.
But then I realized, longest relationship. Just in terms of length alone, it wasn't like the deepest one.
Yeah,
it wasn't like
it. Just it was because it remained kind of casual.
Totally.
For 6
months. Yeah, exactly. And you know how Sudi? Okay, so we just listeners know we tripped on acid upstate recently.
Oh, so first time.
First time. It was my first time.
Did you love?
I had a really good time. I wrote down a lot of lessons.
Yes.
Good.
You've done it?
I do. I love the LSD.
Love the LSD.
Most recently, Jordan Firstman and myself and Brian Safi were...
That sounds like a good crew
tripped
to
on LSD at the San Diego Zoo.
Oh, that must have been amazing.
For Memorial Day.
But that seems almost dangerous because...
That's amazing.
Because with LSD, it's like in this sort of group mindy setting, like all it takes is for one person to be like, let's climb over the... Let's go say hi to that tiger.
Yeah, that's
true. And everyone else be like, yeah, let's do it, you know? Like,
but...
The three of us were all standing on our deck, and we were like, the thing is, we're all here, and we all know that we all want to jump off this deck. But we also know we shouldn't.
Yeah.
We were microdosing, first of all.
Oh, gorgeous.
And second of all, we were in a very... It was a very positive, like...
Loving.
More... Yeah, and I think we were all very hyper aware of the fact that we were at a very crowded zoo surrounded by children, so we didn't get too
extra
out of control. But I so you had a lovely LSD upstate experience.
We were with close friends, and it was good, and it was healing.
But then Sudi said something where she was like, you know, like, it's all behind us now. Our first jobs, our first loves, our first, you know, and I was like, oh, not for some people. And I was like, yeah. And then I talked about this in therapy, unpacked it. I was like, oh yeah, like me breaking up with this dude was like sort of like not the most meaningful, but the longest, and that's like kind of sad.
Did you break up with the dude?
Sad.
No, he broke up with me. And I was like, yeah, whatever.
It's not sad.
That's not sad. No,
because it's the reason you say it's sad is because you're trying to compare it to like what society says should have happened.
Sure.
Also, how old are you?
27.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Ugh. Don't do this.
I know.
No, we're gonna do this because you're the one being ridiculous.
I mean, I will say also when I lived in New York City, I never dated.
Uh-huh.
Really? I mean, like, I had obviously like a lot of like random anonymous sex or like fuck buddies
or
whatever.
Sure.
But I'd never had a boyfriend in the entire time I lived here. And then the minute I moved to LA, I was like boyfriend crazy.
How did you meet Augustus?
I met Augustus at a brunch and we hooked up in the bathroom.
Love that.
Yeah.
It's very, I feel like that's from something. That's,
well, yeah. that to me, the fact that the attraction like superseded the fact that there was a brunch happening and it was the day and yes, society says, no, this shouldn't happen. That's real attraction.
The night before had been at the same party. We were both at a 4th of July party at Roland Emmerich's house, like a big gay party.
Wow.
But we didn't meet there. Okay. And we both hooked up with other people at that. Cute. And then we were all at like a little hangover. Over brunch the next day, Jordan Firstman and I went, and the Augie was there, and he was super cute, and we hooked up.
You did,
and I think I'm allowed to say this, but that Jordan was also involved in the hookup.
So. Oh, great. Wow, so, I love that.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And so Jordan and I both were like, he's super cute, and Jordan won't admit this, but he did say he was like, game on.
Oh my God.
May the best man win.
No.
This was before that.
I'm going to reveal something right now because I'm feeling frisky as well.
Oh, yeah.
The first night I ever found, we found out that Henry Kapersky had broken up with his boyfriend, and I turned to Joel, and Joel said to me, if you don't go for it, I will.
Oh.
And I did.
Oh my God.
Is it he? No, he's the, Henry is who plays piano,
yes,
right?
Yes, 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 yes. You've met Henry.
Yes, yes, yes. And did you go for it,
and it was on from that night on.
And how long were you guys together?
Two years plus.
And are you still close?
Yes. We're doing fine, I would say.
They're working together on
we're
stuff.
Working together on stuff, and we work together, and we've been closer than we are right now, but I think it's just because our relationship kind of ended and then like sort of continued in a way where it's like we're not really letting go.
So
I
think
we're in the like letting go place right now.
Okay.
So we're a little bit more estranged than we have ever been.
And has one of you had a boyfriend like since?
He is
in a relationship.
I don't know what he wants me to say, but I know what I will say, which is that he is dating someone else, and I didn't know the person very well, and so that's
tough.
Yeah.
And I think that's understandably hard for everyone.
Yeah.
But that sort of complicates the whole thing.
And was that your first like real breakup?
Yeah, it was my first relationship, my first breakup, and I think that it was his third.
Okay.
So it was like hard for me in a way that maybe wasn't, not to say that it wasn't hard for him, but it was just like, you know, that complicated things.
Of course.
Like, this is my first time understanding what it's like. Because whenever my friends had broken up with someone, I had always been like, oh my God, get over it. Like, bounce back. And now it's like realizing it's like a grief period.
Yeah. I had a tear. My first breakup was really epic and awful. And I don't know if you followed me then, but I like live tweeted the whole thing and was very public about it. This was with the ex-boyfriend who was on the reality show about Fire Island.
Yes.
I don't know if
I do remember
and
this.
And then Jeffrey is also a Vulture recapper, and that he would it was gorgeous
the Fire Island show.
It was so compelling to read.
So amazing.
It was in retrospect, like when I had the breakup, this would have been like 2010 maybe.
Those recaps were art.
They were art.
Love talking about art with you. the breakup online was like so humiliating. I think it's taken me like 5 years to like recover my brand.
How long ago was this?
This was
5 years ago?
Six years ago. But then I had the boyfriend after him I was dating when I met Augustus.
Oh, interesting.
But it was a long distance thing. That was with Australian comedian Joel Creasy. I don't know if you guys know him.
I'm familiar.
He might have been at JFL.
Might have been at JFL.
I met him in Australia when Cole and I were there doing a gig years ago, and came back and was like, for some reason decided, because I'm so codependent and had like a good date with this person, was like, oh, we're going to be boyfriends long distance from Australia to Los Angeles. And managed to do it for a year.
That's great.
Wow.
But then he was coming to visit and I met Augustus like and 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
And then I tried to like keep it going and I didn't want to break up with him. Or I was like too embarrassed and too like nervous. So I had him still fly to LA. And then in my sleep, started talking about Augustus.
Wow.
And he woke up the next morning.
That's so.
And was like, what? Who's Augustus?
I'm sorry. I know. I don't mean to like.
So mean.
I don't mean to romanticize this.
It was kind of magical.
It feels like a fucking Sex in the City story.
Yes, it does. And then get this shit. So crazy. So then Augie and I, we get married. And then we're on our honeymoon mm-hmm. in Mexico this summer, and we're on a beach in Sayulita, which is a beautiful little place. Mm-hmm. It's also, we went there because Sabrina Jalisse suggested it. It's where they met the donor, the sperm donor of their adorable baby, yes. Wolfie. I don't know if you mm-hmm. follow his yes. adorableness. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we went there. Amazing place. You highly recommend it. We're sitting on this little beach that we found that we've like hiked over to. We've met these two groovy Australians. We're all sharing a joint. And then it's like, okay, we're all going to read. And then she pulls out my ex-boyfriend's newly released memoir with a chapter about me dumping him for Augustus.
Oh, shit.
So, like, on this tiny, tiny beach in Mexico, someone has come from Australia with an Australian published book with a full, like, 6 pages that I read before to make sure, like, he would very nice and ask me.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, yeah, sure. and I was, I was supposed to help him fucking ghostwrite the book before we broke up. So everything about it was so crazy. And so then she's reading the book. And I was like, you know, that you're about to get to a chapter about how I'm a horrible person. But in the end, you'll see how we meet, my husband and I. And it was a beautiful thing. Isn't that bizarre?
That's insane.
So fucked
up. It's so fucked up how, like, every the world is too small.
Oh, too small.
Too small.
Too small.
I mean, but aren't we sort of like, didn't we sort of ask for this in a way where it's like we've wanted to make ourselves visible? And so when we do have these moments where our personal lives are sort of like thrown back at us, like from.
It is interesting because it's like, I mean, I'm not someone who's ever wanted attention. I've never done anything to try to seek attention by any means whatsoever.
Very private. Private person.
No, but like, it's like when you're like trying to like make it and make it, you know, make yourself like a famous person and doing what you do, when you all of a sudden like someone actually gives a shit about your personal life, you get really weirded out.
Well, you're, I mean.
So imagine being like super duper famous. Of like, course. Imagine being like Jennifer Aniston or something.
Oh, I mean.
We don't have to worry about that. At least I don't.
I mean, you never know.
I will never.
You don't know that, though.
Bowen, you don't know that.
But the thing is, like.
You in a remake of In Her Shoes.
I think you're going to be
in a remake of
In Her Shoes.
Oh, my God, and Toni Collette does a little cameo.
I think, actually, if we should do a remake of In Her Shoes, and you should play Toni, and I'm Cameron.
Yeah. Wait, is In Her Shoes, is even Aniston in that?
Rumor has it.
The Graduate.
Yeah.
Rumor has it is a crazy movie.
It's
I don't know.
How did it get made? I'm sure it's been on How Did It Get Made.
Jordan and I watched it once, and every other line was somehow something about how amazing Pasadena is. Literally, it would be like, blah, 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 blah. But there's nothing like Pasadena. Like, every other line in the whole movie.
How long have you and Jordan been friends? Are you guys best friends forever?
I would consider him one of my besties. Yeah. He and I became friends probably only like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Love that.
It feels like a decade and a half long relationship.
No, we like met and but clicked really quickly.
Yeah.
So brilliant. Love that guy.
He's coming with Augie and I and Charles to the UK for the holidays.
I love that.
Fabulous.
Where,
gonna be some
the
good
UK?
Content.
Bob.
Yeah, very good.
Augie's from London. And we're gonna go to London for a few days, but his parents recently retired and moved to the countryside.
Oh, I love
so
that.
We're
for
going
them.
To Wiltshire.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Wiltshire. I have to say, I think that sounds like a very good vibe. You, Jordan, and Brian all doing acid together. I don't know Brian well. I've met Brian once, but I feel like
we met him at JFL.
We met him at JFL.
An icon. Yeah. An icon.
And I like him.
He's one of the
really
greatest.
Nice guys. Yeah. Yes. Everything I've heard about people that work with him and like.
He's a genuinely like good person. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have like a like bitchy, mean spirited side like I do or like so many people I'm friends with do.
He has a warm energy.
He has a very, very warm energy.
Yes. Yeah. We were nervous to introduce ourselves to that JFL.
He, Aaron, and us has shared a dressing
room. We were all in the same dressing room, and it was like this moment of like 2.5 minutes went by where no one said anything, and we were like, hi! All at the same time.
And they were so sweet.
They were so nice.
So great.
Did you read Aaron's book?
I want to so bad.
I have not read it.
So
yet.
Good.
It just came out, right?
Yeah, it came out about a month ago. So the cover's amazing. I listened to the audiobook and I cannot recommend it enough. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do the audio because I want to hear her read it.
She's great. And also Guy Branum's audiobook was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listened to it.
Read the book. It.
The audiobook was, I mean, the book as well. It's so good, right?
I think that there's something to that. And also maybe they feel like totally different experiences. Like I remember like reading Bossy Pants like obsessively when it first came out, and sure. then like hearing her perform the book.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is Tina Fey performing.
I love an audiobook.
Love an yeah. audiobook. Wait, but speaking of which, okay, so you just being on this beach, finding out that this whole chapter is about you is so trippy and insane.
That's bizarre. Insane.
Does this go in your book? You have to write
a essays book. But like, it's harder to do that. Like the YA books yeah. were easy, to, like more easy to sell for some
really?
Reason.
Oh, to sell, but to write, I'm
yeah,
sure
to write,
arduous.
I feel like I could. But I'm so lazy that again, it's
not
like,
lazy. You've published two books,
but only because I got paid to do it.
Yeah,
like
but
without getting, I have a hard time writing things on spec.
Okay, but I mean,
I hear you.
It's a memoir. Is a memoir of yeah, I guess you can say
you know
that
what I
spec.
Mean.
But I mean, you're a proven quantity as a writer because you're a published author.
That's true. Yeah, I think I will do that at some point.
Oh my
yeah.
god, please.
I would definitely like to
for
do that
for all our
point.
Sakes.
But yeah, it's hard to like actually motivate yourself to do it when you're like, will I even sell this though?
But you, but there just has to be a chapter on that.
Isn't that
thing.
Yes, absolutely
that's crazy.
Isn't that so crazy? It was the strangest thing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that sounds like a real moment where yeah. it's like I wouldn't know how to explain it in my head as she pulled the book out
no,
of her bag. I'd
no,
be like,
no
"Oh my god!"
No
and then
way.
We had, and then the couple and my husband and I, we all fucked right
yes.
there on the beach. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait. Literally, I was
believe.
Like,
"I'd be like, cool."
I was like, "Amazing!
How beautiful!
That's art."
That's art.
I love
talking about art
love
with you guys.
Art.
Love talking about art.
Speaking
welcome
of art.
Welcome back to Art Chat.
Art Chat.
Art Chat is the title of the
episode. Yes.
But speaking of art, go ahead, Bowen, ask the question.
Jeffrey, okay, we asked this question to all of our guests.
Okay.
What is the culture growing up that made you say culture is for me? Matt, can you explain the question?
Yeah, so this is like a piece of pop culture, whether it be a film, musical artist, mm-hmm. something that you experience in the pop culture lexicon that like you feel when you look back, you're like, yeah, that set me on a course or defined me in a way.
Okay, I would probably say, can I say two things?
Yes.
Yeah, you can absolutely.
Okay,
you can say three. You can say four. There's no fucking rules here.
Number one, Death Becomes Her.
Oh.
Yeah, very first. Yes.
Very, like, I think like the Death Becomes Her, like a dark comedy, you know, incredible female, strong performances, just the entire aesthetic of like the LA of it all, the Hollywood of it all, the New York musical theater of it all.
Elements of competition too,
elements
I think is
of
big
competitive.
For yeah.
Yes. I mean, we all have our own Madeline Ashton.
Yes.
That was very, very instrumental. That's the culture for me. And then the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. The
Rosie O'Donnell show was bigger for all of us than we can even realize.
Because it actually introduced us to so much that just flew over
100%.
Our head.
And it was so inherently gay without being gay. Like,
yes, it really was.
It captured like the city I wanted to move to and the world I wanted to be in without even really knowing it. Rosie O'Donnell for me is like, I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I'm obsessed with nothing more than that. Like,
yeah,
than her.
Rosie O'Donnell is my number one obsession. Like,
I love that.
About
Rosie's
anything
amazing.
Else, if her name, if no matter what it is, if she's involved, if it's an article, a movie, an episode, whatever. I have both Christmas
so,
albums. I will do anything.
My favorite show is The View.
Sure. I've heard of it.
And when Rosie peeks into The View, like, because every 10 years she's like
the
star
yeah.
of The View.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's never better than when
oh,
she's
never.
On
oh,
it.
Oh, fuck.
And
literally,
people don't understand
literally
that, like,
never.
Even the negative aspects of The View, you need that.
Oh, yes. Rosie on The View is unprecedented television.
Unprecedented.
You know, she co-filled in or whatever for Julie Chen the other day on The Talk.
Oh,
really?
My God. We
How
have to
did
watch.
I miss that?
Well, it was what you know that period when, like, I think it was right after Julie Chen had, like, officially left The Talk.
Yeah.
And they were bringing in all the different, you know, co-hosts or whatever. But it was the day of the Kavanaugh hearing.
Oh.
And so it didn't.
Beautiful TV, that probably
yeah,
was.
And,
oh, my
and
God.
No one got to see it. Which I think says a lot.
Because it got swallowed up.
Oh, because it got swallowed up by that.
Yeah,
it certainly does say a lot.
Didn't air. But
she's always been right about everything.
She's always. Yes, I agree. And she's always, always, always just like been like unapologetically flawed and like broken.
Yes.
And I love that.
But the thing about the Rosie O'Donnell show being this very queer thing that a lot of people don't give it credit for is huge. Because think about like fucking even having Sutton Foster on doing Gimme yes. Gimme.
She
like,
exposed they had, musical she had, theater all the time.
Yes. She had John Cameron Mitchell on promoting Hedwig and the Angry Inch off Broadway. And like explain, you can find the clip on YouTube. It's fascinating. And she's like explaining the show. And you know, she's not even out at this point.
Right. Nope.
She's explaining the show to this, you know, very, very mainstream America audience.
Right.
And they're like laughing. They like laugh at some point about like the description of the show.
Yeah.
And she like stops and is like, open your minds for God's sakes. Oh. Like this is like a piece of art. Again,
wow. Art.
But it's so interesting to watch. There's so many moments like that. The like she with Sandra Bernhard, she with all yes. of her like this was, you know, not
LaShawn's
even like
was on
hype.
That show singing Waiting for Life yeah. to Begin, an iconic.
Oh my yes. God.
She would have people on also like that were like doing shows at the Duplex, no joke.
Wow.
And be like, oh okay, God. This woman's doing like a Ethel Merman tribute show at the Duplex tonight. Go see it. And then, like, on the most, that was the biggest show on daytime. At the
crazy.
Time.
And yeah, and fucking Sandra even was she doing like Ars Nova shit at the time, too?
Yeah, it was like post Sandra being like, you know, the big Letterman guest.
God,
and
yes,
like,
right, yes.
It was like her career like dipped down a bit. And yeah. like, but she, it was all of those kind of people that she'd have on that were the first time I ever experienced any of those people.
And also, Rosie, what I love about Rosie is she loved the stuff she loved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No one loves anything more than she.
Unapologetic. Yeah. When she discovered Harry Potter, basic as
oh
it
my
was,
God.
She was fucking in Harry
she
Potter.
Loved
and like
it.
The episode
Survivor.
The episode when J.K. Rowling came on
yes.
Rosie O'Donnell, that was huge. And I'll never forget when she started weeping. But even before Barbara.
The Barbara episode.
Barbara
I just want to say that when you walking through that curtain is like my own mother
coming
back from the it's the most beautiful thing.
So emotional.
All those clips are online. You should watch the whole thing. Why don't they? I don't know why they don't just put the whole thing like out that you could buy. The same with just Oprah, like great. on iTunes. It should be
available.
It's a cry and shame.
It should be.
There's a great DVD though of the Rosie O'Donnell Show season one, Rosie looking back, and it's they basically all the best clips of season one, and it's like Rosie and like sweats and like. Barefoot, sitting in like an armchair, cross legs, like watching the clips and like giving you like backstage, behind the scenes kind of in, like descriptions of what happened and stories. And she's taking it really seriously and she's really earnest and it's great.
Oh my God.
It's so crazy. I think it's actually pretty similar to Hillary, honestly, the way the public feels about Rosie. I
yeah.
think because she's been so tainted by the, I mean,
by the Trump thing.
My mother, my own mother even said, like, before we all kind of woke up, like, about 6 or 7 years ago, I'll never forget, my mom said, like, I love Rosie, but I don't know. She seems really opinionated lately. And it's this thing that yeah. seeps into the public consciousness that women aren't supposed to speak mm-hmm. out, aren't supposed to have strong opinions. And when she had a strong, like, liberal opinion,
yes,
it turned people off, especially yeah. someone who was beloved by mainstream media.
Everybody.
And not only that, but, like, I think news organizations and, like, you know, like, networks,
uh-huh.
they get angry at you when you are divisive or opinionated
yes.
because you don't appeal to everyone and their ratings get bad. And so she was totally thrown under the bus.
Yeah. And she turned down like an insane amount of money. And I think it really pissed because they wanted her to keep doing that show.
Yeah.
She only did like 4 or 5 seasons.
Right, right.
And then they offered her, I think, like $100 million to do 2 more seasons. And she was like, I don't need, like, I already have so much money. I've just made so much
right.
money. I'm not doing it. And I think like within that world of like the corporate old men who run everything, like they were really, I think that like was such a slap in the face to
yeah.
everything that they think matters. She's fascinating. If you've never read either of her books, Find Me or Celebrity Detox, Find Me is this amazing book that was during the Rosie O'Donnell Show where this woman basically contacted her adoption nonprofit company
yeah.
And was saying she was a pregnant teen and needed help and da-da-da. And then basically Rosie got very involved in trying to help this kid and it realizes, this isn't a spoiler, this is what the book's about, that the person is multiple personalities and is contacting her as like five, she's
wow.
so like 5 different people she's talking to are this same
real
person.
Story?
Yeah.
Wow.
And like she got so involved, she like flew this person to New York. Oh. I'm assuming they're probably still in touch. It's a beautiful story. And then the Celebrity Detox book is about when she left The View. And it's about like deciding to
the
leave
Hasselbeck
The View.
Shit.
Yes.
There's no, I mean, the fight between Rosie and Elizabeth
nothing
on
better.
The View,
iconic.
That's a moment forever.
Yeah.
And you can see Rosie.
Yes.
Notice
her eyes. Yes.
That
the split
there's
screen.
A split screen. And you, it's just this moment of like, it's real pathos. It's yes. And Elizabeth, you can see the moment Elizabeth deciding to be
who she was going to become.
Yes. Yes.
And they, she had even said, Rosie said, like, you know, I took Elizabeth to her first Broadway show. Yes. I really tried with her. And in that moment, Elizabeth really threw her under the bus. And when Rosie said she was cowardly, like, that came from her soul. Oh, like, yeah. And that's, you only get that on a show like that.
The View, baby.
The View's
but is it,
the show.
I mean, it's the best. But it's not great anymore.
Well, I actually think it's having a little bit of a renaissance. However, I think the fact that things are going so well right now at the show is not necessarily what we need from the show.
Yes.
We need conflict on the show. We need someone. I think they thought Meghan McCain was going to shake it up more than she has.
Abby?
But the fact of the matter is, Meghan McCain, while she's conservative, she's also reasonable. And she's a friend to many liberal.
So you're saying
causes.
they bring on a Tommy Lahren type
I,
of
No,
person?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that something, and Abby Huntsman actually is pretty moderate.
Abby is very moderate.
I actually don't, I mean, I hate Tommy Lahren, and I, you know, it's such a conflicted thing to think, like, you know, should you give her that platform? But there is something about, like, getting to see Whoopi Goldberg explain how the fuck the world actually works to this idiot on a daily basis.
And I think what happens is, I think the conservative on the show, and this is just kind of true, they've always been kind of an idiot.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Hasselbeck, she always needed her fucking copious pieces of papers printed out at the desk.
Dumbass.
Meghan McCain is just very smart and like educated about the kind of things that she is educated about. I think some of her opinions are a little fucked.
Oh, of course.
But she's also an idiot about the things that she's not read up on.
I would agree.
Like Michelle, a friend of the show, Michelle Collins, will tell you that.
Yes. Michelle Collins, what
Michelle
an icon.
She's the
iconic.
Queen. She's the queen.
One of the truest icons of all time.
Truest icons was robbed. And also, this campaign of her taking Megyn Kelly's slot is fucking real.
Please,
make it happen.
Well, there's no bigger idiot than Megyn Kelly, because the thing about Megyn Kelly is she's not even smart enough to be aware of the fact that she is a racist. You are a racist. You know what? You are a racist.
Queen, you're a racist.
She is very good at what she does.
She's had the history of all this. Yeah.
She's a very good Fox News interrogative prosecutorial reporter.
Prosecutorial.
She was very good at remaining calm while stirring the pot on her guests and getting them upset and being like, well, you look ridiculous. Bye. She's very good at Fox News type journalism, but she is the opposite of warm. The idea that she was ever going to succeed in a morning show capacity is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's so crazy. And did they shorten Kathy Lee and Hoda for her, or was that a different slot?
It was a different slot. I can't believe that the Today Show would be so dumb as to give an entire hour to her. I think NBC News is,
someone needs to be fired over that. But she's officially out, right?
It's officially canceled.
Okay. Yes.
And she will have a different
role. She's being bought out. No, she's being bought out.
By all of NBC.
It's unconfirmed. Okay. We should say this is going to come out later. As of this moment in time, it's unconfirmed what's going to happen to her. The latest report from NBC News is that she is still currently an employee of NBC News, but there are obviously lots of leaks and discussions about how she's being bought out of this $70 million contract.
Her deal was so fucking crazy.
It was huge, and I'm like, what exactly?
Rosie turned down 100.
Rosie turned down 100, y'all.
Rosie turned
it's just
100.
Like, I don't know. I don't know, guys. I stopped trusting Megyn Kelly when she said Jesus was white and Santa was white.
Idiot.
It's like, what did you think you were getting?
But the delivery of the Santa one especially is just so funny. She's just so like, but kids, Santa Claus
just
is white. It's like, what are you,
where are
also,
you, what
bitch,
are you doing?
Also, bitch, what kids are watching your show? What kids are
what
up?
Kids?
It's just so crazy.
Megan is the anti-Rosie, truly. I mean, more so than Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a shame we don't have, like, I want a Rosie, like, MSNBC at nighttime show right now. There was, I think I read somewhere that there had been talk of that at one point, but like,
well, her health isn't good.
Well, I think she's, because she had that heart attack, she, I think, is like, I can't bring myself to get so stressed out.
That's
on
why
TV
she
every
left
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The View.
The View. Well, she
the
came back to
time.
The View, and she did 1 year, and she was like, "I actually have realized that this is a stressful show."
Good for her.
And it wasn't a full year. I think she left.
She
left by like Christmas.
Yeah.
And you know what? We can't ask that much of her.
But she's engaged.
Good.
Again.
She's getting married again.
Love it.
To some like
third wife.
Really, I think fourth maybe.
Oh my
God. No, third. You're right. Third, yes.
There was Kelly.
And then Michelle, who passed.
Kelly and Michelle. Michelle. Where's her Beyonce, honey?
Get her Beyonce.
She is her Beyonce.
You're right. You're
She's
100%
her own Beyonce.
Right.
Her new wife is like a really gorgeous police officer in Boston.
They've all been beautiful.
Oh my God, a Boston police officer.
I also
officer?
Think people get weirded out by Rosie because she's a woman with masculine, like energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think like that I think is what really pisses Donald Trump off about her. Is that like he sees parts of like
she's an unapologetic like lesbian.
Yeah, but he wants that kind of strength and power, and he can't have it.
Rosie has BDE.
I hate that because he's president and has done this thing in America that there's like 50% of this nation that fucking hates her. It's so
unfair.
Isn't
it? But what that must be like to be her right now and be like my bully, my biggest bully in the world.
President
is the president. So crazy.
It's something I think he is obviously very offended by powerful women who he's never going to fuck.
Yes. Well, that's the thing is he has no use for her because he, you know.
I believe that this would never happen, but I would be thrilled by nothing more than if Rosie and Donald Trump ran for, I mean, that debate would be.
Oh, I thought you said if they ever had sex.
Oh yeah,
I would not be thrilled.
No, I would
you
be
would
deeply
be so
upset.
Thrilled.
I would be deeply upset.
It would never happen.
I was thinking about 2020 the other day, and I was just like, God, what do we have? And then I was thinking, like, of course, like what the natural thing would be to like want to put a woman up there to like show him what the fuck is really what in a way that Hillary never could, just because there was so much public decisions already being made about Hillary, and she could never get out from under that, but. I was also like, you know, I don't know. Part of me feels like we do need to put someone on his level up there, and that's why I was entertained by the Oprah thing.
Yeah, I was entertained like, by that. That's officially not happening though, right?
No. We don't know.
I mean,
she has said no, and you have to believe.
When she says no, I do believe Oprah means no.
She's starting the book club again. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
Yeah, she said she was. I think she alluded to that.
She was like, oh, if Reese Witherspoon's doing it, I better start doing it again. Reese is all over the place.
And I love that John is taking Reese to task on this voting stuff.
What?
That Reese has only done like a basic get out the vote thing and has not fully done the Taylor Swift thing. And like
John who?
John Early.
Oh, really?
Oh, I
didn't
see
this. Been tweeting at Reese Witherspoon being like, hey, can you actually like speak out against Marsha Blackburn, and can you actually endorse the Democratic candidate in Tennessee instead of just doing like fucking milquetoast get out the vote shit?
Oh, I haven't seen that. Again, no Twitter.
But
I'm a stranger to all of your opinions.
There you go. I mean, I think
what if you came on the show and it was like a conservative podcast?
I would be very excited.
You would be great.
It would be real. It would just be really interesting. It would just be so. It would make you guys like even more interesting. Like it would just be like, what
we need to be is conservative.
What are these guys all about? What are you guys after?
Oh my God!
Somewhere out there, like that we don't know about. There's a gay version of also us, but they're conservative.
I would love to watch. I would watch a scripted show about you guys playing a conservative. Like podcast.
Somebody needs to write it.
Someone write it for us. We're not.
Somebody out there. I'm not writing anything on spec. I've established that.
as we've said.
And look, and if you hire Jeffrey to ghostwrite something for you, then you'll date and break up. I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
Isn't that just great? I mean, it is like
I think
it's just great. It's a great like story.
It's such a good story. Yeah. I can't believe that.
It's the perfect kind of narrative. And especially after I was so horrifying and humiliating to my ex-boyfriend when we broke up, like when I was like 25. It's just the perfect payback. It's just
no. You think it was payback?
I think there was definitely some karma to it for sure.
But sure.
Because I mean, like when I broke up with my first ex-boyfriend, I was so like unhinged on the internet to him and to the guy he started dating right after me. I was so horrible. I think I still can't view his Instagram. Mm-hmm. I think he somehow blocked like my IP from my phone.
Wow.
I can't like to look. That's Chris Salvatore. Do you know who he is?
I don't see. The thing is, when you were sort of narrating all this, I did not care for him.
Yeah. No. This was like a time where basically it was like my first boyfriend, and it was like the ex-boyfriend. It was like the first time like a hot like guy who looked like from like a Sean Cody video ever paid attention to me, and I was like so excited by that like, you know, Dawson from the old Sean Cody videos. Do you remember him?
Yeah. Well, Dawson was Corbin Fisher.
Corbin Fisher. Yeah. Dawson and Lucas. I don't know. One of the greatest videos of all time.
Remember they did a whole fucking Czechoslovakia trip. They did a whole Europe trip and they just fucked in different hotels.
Yes, and it felt like one of them had decided to date me, and so I had a very meltdown. And then when we broke up, he dated someone who was also, you know, again, like a very hot, like Corbin Fishery looking person, and then I just couldn't handle it because all my greatest fears were personified, and so then a 25-year-old lost his mind. So I think the karma of that
a 25-year-old lost his mind. That's the title of the essay in the book.
But I think the karma of that led to me having a chapter written about me in Joel's book.
But there you go. I mean, you survived all of it.
I've survived.
You've come out the other side. And isn't it so funny that like you were again fully mired in this performative,
yes,
on display,
performative social media, yeah.
And now it's like we are sort of in this weird post state that I never thought we would get to ever. This is here to stay. This is how we're going
to
be.
It doesn't
living
feel
our
like it is here to stay, does it?
It feels like it's sort of starting to break down a little.
I mean,
bit,
not
I
there's an element to it that will always be here, totally. But like that, like really performative, uh-huh. like 2007. Yeah.
This is 2012.
This would have been 2012. Yeah.
But that was the peak of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. I feel like that kind of thing is kind of dying down.
Yeah. Love it. I welcome that.
Me too.
I have to be honest with you. Since we've been talking about porn, I've been thinking about my porno that I've been watching lately, which is...
Who's your porno?
Do you guys know Carter Dane and Alex Meekum?
Of course!
The first video of them,
They're dating in real life. They're in love
in real life.
Oh, that's
sweet. I don't love that in porn.
The video that they did together, you can literally see them fall in love while they're fucking, and I actually kind of love it.
It's like Rosie and Elizabeth on The View. You see the moment where they decide what they're going to be.
You see the moment where they decide.
Wait, who is your number? Who are your porn stars right now?
Dane is, I think, the hottest person in the world. Although I do think Ricky Roman is.
I like Ricky Roman. I'm a big Levi Carter fan.
Oh, I know Levi
Carter is a little small for me.
Oh, see, I like that.
Yeah. I like this dude, Robert Axel, but he's sort of fallen off. But he would do a lot of massage porn stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
That was like a fun little, like my only little sort of vertically kinky niche, but then
was
massage. I was like, oh cool, this so is fun. Kinky. Not kinky at all, right? Like totally
have
vanilla.
You ever had an erotic massage?
I
love them.
You've
never done it?
Well, one time it was going in that direction and I think I was like, I don't know.
Oh really?
I didn't say no, but like it. I think treat yourself. Had I looked over and made eye contact once, I think it would have happened.
It's so sex positive.
Hire someone.
It's so sex positive. It's great.
Masseurfinder.com is my favorite.
We went to the strip club like 2 weeks ago, and I ended up giving $140 to these strippers, and one of them I like really went too far with.
Strip club in New York.
Joel and I compared notes afterwards, and we both were bad boys.
You were both very bad. They both got swindled. From these men.
Oh, you got swindled. I like that.
I just couldn't believe how much money I didn't have that I gave them.
Yeah, but I'm a big Darius Ferdinand guy.
I love Darius Ferdinand.
Very hot.
Yeah.
And he has
He's
a boyfriend
so
as well.
He's
boyfriends with Ricky Roman?
I have no
idea. Wow, that would be the hottest thing ever. Also, to be honest, I gotta say, what's his name who takes pictures at the gay events that we go to?
Oh,
Tate Hansen.
So nice.
I one time thought I was gonna get to hook up with Tate Hansen because he DM'd me on Twitter, which I was like, all right.
Hello.
And I actually, because what happened was a friend of mine had hooked up with him, and I was like, oh, it's not that hard to hook up with Tate Hansen. And so I started following him on Twitter and, you know, did the thing where I like faved a bunch of shit.
Yeah. And then you made yourself known.
He slid into the DMs.
Yeah.
And we made plans to have, I was here shooting, I think, Difficult People.
Uh-huh.
And we made plans to like hook up that or meet up that night for a drink. And we were like texting back and forth. And I was going to meet him at Barracuda because he was judging some sort of like lip syncing contest.
Thank God.
Love it.
And we finally meet up and we're texting and he's like, okay, I forget what he said, but I was like, okay, shut up, bitch. something in text. And he like wrote back this long thing that was like, please don't refer to me as a bitch. That is really hurtful. I won't take verbal abuse. But then I still went to Barracuda to meet him. And then he like sat in front of the stage to judge the lip syncing or drag or whatever it was. And I like sat behind him. It was so strange. And he didn't speak to me the whole time.
What?
I was so, it was barely.
Well, that sounds like he was either going through a tough moment or is fully crazy.
I think I was going through a tough moment, maybe.
Wow.
It was dark.
Wait, what's the name of the guy who has like a huge ass and a huge dick?
Every single person we just named.
No,
the qualifier.
You would know him. Anyway, I feel like his name is like Hector or something.
Okay.
Anyway, he like hit me up on Grindr one time. He was like, come to my hotel room. And I chickened out just because I knew the sexual experience would be harrowing.
Harrowing.
You didn't do it.
No.
Yeah, I get it.
I love talking about art with you guys.
I love talking about art with you.
Speaking of art, let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay.
This is our, it's our classic segment that we have on the podcast.
It's really, I mean, it's a classic, you guys.
Are you going to be in LA in early December?
I'm in LA for 2 weeks in December, and then I go to the UK.
I really want you. Joel and I are going to be doing I Don't Think So, Honey live out there, and I want you to be on it.
Where are you?
I'll be working.
He's working.
Oh, so right.
Joel Kim Booster is going to host with me. I guess this is a good time to tell you guys, get your tickets to I Don't Think So, Honey live at the Bell House on November 30th, as well as I Don't Think So, Honey live on December 5th at the Regent in downtown Los Angeles. And we're also going to be doing Queers Live at Joe's Pub on November 26th. Okay. You won't be here. At Joe's Pub Monday night, we're going to be recreating A Diva's Life, but it's not going to be like we're going to do their songs. We're going to do our own songs.
Yes.
That has me, Bowen Yang, Joel Kim. No, Joel's not doing it.
Cole
Josh, Scola. Aaron, Cole,
Larry Owens,
Larry, Peter.
Lovely people.
That is a line up.
We're going to be having a fairly fun time, and more to be announced.
And presenters as well.
Presenters as well. Yes. Non-musical presenters.
Non-musical
just presenters. Just like Jennifer Aniston
just
presented.
Like presenting you guys?
Yes. Yeah,
like, you know, come out and do a little bit, present us.
I like it a lot.
It's so self-indulgent.
And it will be to a charity that we have yet to be decided.
That we have yet to determine.
That is the epitome of self-indulgence.
It's truly the question feature on Instagram.
I like it.
But in live show form.
So I guess it's time for I Don't Think So, Honey. I do have one.
You have one? Great. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey's time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, this Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen it. I have seen some of the reviews. Apparently, it's terrible. I could have told you that from the fucking god-awful trailer. I do not think so, honey, this Bryan Singer garbage bullshit. Because I'm sorry, but why did we give him this movie? Why? I Don't Think So, Honey, all these awards people being like, it could be nominated for an Oscar. No, it's not. Here's a reason. Directed by Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Also, I Don't Think So, Honey, again, not that this really matters
seconds.
At this point, because it's just going to keep happening, but Rami Malek is playing Freddie Mercury, a famously queer person. Like, we couldn't find any queer actor to do this. Not that I super really care about this, because I do always think an actor acts, but the thing is, like, guys, it's Freddie Mercury. Throw us a fucking bone.
Seconds.
I have to also say, I Don't Think So, Honey, the CGI in the trailer that pans out to the crowd, bitch, it sounds like, it looks like a million people just copy and pasted. Like, if you're going to have a crowd shot, get a crowd or just cut the crowd shot. I Don't Think So, Honey, this movie, it looks bad. It probably is bad. I'm not going to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
And that's 1 minute. Amazing.
Girl. Yeah, I agree. I'm not, no thank you. Mm-hmm.
I'm just a no thank you all around, because it's like, and also, I didn't even mention this, and this actually was my biggest problem with it, but the trailer tries to insinuate that there's going to be like a heterosexual romance in the movie.
Yes, it does.
Which is like really inappropriate.
It also, like, I felt like they have him wearing like fake bad teeth.
Yeah.
And it's so, they're almost comical. It's like, it's such a strange detail to like really like drive
nail
home.
In.
Like, yeah.
It's even worse than like Nicole Kidman's nose in The Hours.
Yeah.
It's like, stop.
It's weird because it's like we didn't know what Virginia Woolf's nose looked like, so we don't need this. And also, like, if you're going to fucking highlight something about Freddie Mercury, maybe the fact that he was queer. I don't know. Maybe not his teeth. Maybe the fact that he was queer makes him more dynamic.
Did you see the little clip of him in an interview where someone, I think it was someone from Into, the Grindr magazine, asked him, would you call, just a simple question, like, not even a would you
ask to Rami or
Bryan
Singer?
Would you call Freddie Mercury a gay icon? Would you consider him to be a gay icon,
right.
a gay figure? And then Rami just tried to dance around it in some bizarre way. Like, you know, I wouldn't qualify him as anything. And it's just like, wait, what are you
doing? I'm sorry, but you're playing Freddie Mercury. That means you've stepped into the gay space.
Yes, babe.
Regardless
of
what you think.
Totally. And it's like, what? I mean, are you doing some risk assessment here with saying like, oh, I can't say, call him a gay icon, otherwise people will think I'm gay?
Erasure.
Really,
and we joke about that a lot on the show, but that's erasure. That really is erasure. Yeah. And you can't deny what brought Freddie Mercury into this world, his talent, like, and also what took him out of this world. And it's Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey time.
Wait a minute.
And his time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. This banger-less era we're in with our pop stars who all just want to deliver you a vibe.
Speak.
And not actual hooks, bitch.
Speak.
I love the new Robin. It's amazing. But also, like, this conscious direction that all of our pop songstresses are going in, where it's like, okay, we're giving you a mood. We're giving you a vibe. It's not going to be anything memorable. You can't really bop to it. We're not going to give you bops is truly crazy. Like, it decentralizes this whole thing in music, where it's like, okay, now we have to rely on these, like, we have to discover a bop through a Kim Petras. Like, we have to, like, search for that through other people. Like, that is more work on our part, and, like, I don't have the emotional labor to do that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And also, this is not to, like, dictate their careers in any way, and, like, their artistic vision is their vision, but I want a solid, like, teenage dream type album, yep. Like Dangerous Woman
Five
type
seconds.
Album, where it's like, we haven't had that in a long time, and who will deliver us back into that zone, into that space? I'm so curious to see. And that's 1 minute.
And that's 1 minute. I have to say, it's like, they're all deciding at the same time to do this sort of like banger-less thing.
Like sparse, minimalist thing.
Where the fuck is the hook?
Wait, did you like the Kim Petras Halloween album?
We loved it. We think Kim Petras is popping so much right now because she's the only one making efforts to give you hooks.
Yes, I was not aware of Kim Petras until everybody was posting that album and telling you what. And but then when I heard she did a duet with Elvira, I was very sold.
Yes,
and I'm very into that album.
I got my sister and her friends into Kim Petras. I just like did this experiment. Like, it was like 2 months ago. It was like the late summer, and like,
you're like, does this?
I was
appeal
with
to
them,
all
and we were driving out to. We were gonna go to the Montauk Lighthouse, and I was like, or no, the Fire Island Lighthouse, and we were driving, and I was
so
like,
many lighthouses,
so many lighthouses, a lot of lighthouses on Long Island. It's actually Real Culture number 40.
A lot of lighthouses on Long Island.
And we were driving out there, and I was like, let me just slide on Heart to Break. And I put it on, and they kind of like 8 out of 10 responded. Then I put on I Don't Want It At All.
And they loved it.
They were like, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're obsessed with her.
Love that. Yeah, love that. She's love great. That. Amazing. But see, she's in a very sparse field, and that's why she's
so a power position.
Power position.
A power huge. Position.
God bless. Okay, Jeffrey Self.
It's
okay.
Jeffrey Self's I Don't Think So, Honey. And his time starts now.
Okay, I Don't Think So, Honey. Snakes. I am so against snakes.
Speak on it.
I fucking hate snakes. I think that, like, if like you could like push like a button or do something, a chemical in the air that killed all snakes, I'd be for it. I hate people who have pet snakes. I think they're disgusting.
Yeah.
They're weirdos. I don't trust you.
Yes.
They're people, but what really I don't think so, honey, more than any fucking thing else is those fucking people who stand on the street with a giant snake with like a twinkle in their eye and you can pay them to take pictures with like holding the snake. I don't think so, honey. The snake doesn't want it. I don't want it. The people passing by don't want it. That you are a selfish creep. I saw this happen in Times Square the other day. It was cold. I thought, I don't think so, honey. No, thank you, snakes.
And that's 1 minute. Oh, I love that.
That was really good. And you know what? I don't think so, honey, snakes.
I fucking hate them. And it's just like, you know, it's like the one animal that I truly think, you know.
Why are you here?
Anybody who is coming to defend a snake is not someone I want to have in my space.
Well, do we need them?
We don't need them. We do not need them. Someone must do something.
I'll tell you something. If you know, snakes means more rodents.
Fine. Honestly, I'd be fine with it.
Okay, but then, are you a fan of snakes on this whole trend now, thanks to Taylor? Is this the snakes on jewelry thing?
I mean, I don't care about that.
Okay, great.
But
there you go.
But like, for example, I was like at a friend's the other day, and like,
they had a snake.
Casually brought out a snake.
No,
who is this?
No
friend?
Reptiles.
And I was like, this isn't okay. I made them put it away.
Are they in the industry?
Yeah,
that's not acceptable. If you're in the industry and you have a snake, then you're hiding something.
It's just it represents something. You know, the way that you can, like, when you meet someone who has a pet bird, like, you're like, oh, I know everything I need to know about this person.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, thank you. But like. A pet bird, at least, is like pretty, and everybody's like, oh, that's nice. But like a snake, no one wants that. Zoos need to get rid of their snakes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You never know when you're going to turn a corner and there's going to be one. When we were on acid at the San Diego Zoo, you know, we're looking at the some sort of thing that's swimming in the water, and it was a crocodile, alligator, some shit. And then you turn, and then in this aquarium was this just giant, hideous garbage pile of a snake.
No. And the way they reflect light is disgusting.
Gross! And they're pointless. They offer absolutely nothing.
The way they metabolize the things that they eat is absolutely frightening. And if you ever gotten eaten by a snake, I'm so sorry.
You know that thing where like that fucking, I couldn't stop looking at it, that article about the guy who like fell asleep on the street in India and like was swallowed whole by like a cobra?
No.
And like he was killed, obviously. Just no.
We're so sorry for that.
Also,
man.
Boa constrictors that wrap around you and literally constrict you until you suffocate and then they break your bones. No,
disgusting.
Thanks. I don't think so.
Disgusting. Disgusting. Thank you.
So fuck snakes.
Any animal that has an instinct to kill you painfully, I don't think so, honey.
Yeah, but again, like, I don't mind an alligator crocodile.
I do mind them.
I mean, I don't want to, like, hang out with one or, like,
I would never invite them.
No. Oh, God, no. If, like, I had a dinner party of 12, no, there would not be an crocodile on that list.
Absolutely.
But I do not think I'm not like, let's get rid of all the crocodiles, alligators. But snakes, I genuinely am. Let's start a movement. Let's get rid of them.
Really? So they're on the top of your list, and if you could get rid of every shark in the world, you'd be like, no?
I don't like sharks, but like I like reading about sharks.
Not all sharks are harmful. Sharks get a bad rap.
They're at least interesting. I also think snakes are probably stupid. You know, sharks are at least smart.
Snakes, there's really nothing redeemable.
Maybe more rodents. I get what you're saying. There would be more rodents, but I would rather be like in a bathtub of mice than like have to like look at a snake on TV.
Because at least mice are also mammals, and therefore you can like get on their level.
Yes.
Get on their level. That's huge. For any animal, you have to get on their level.
Yes. That's a real culture number 91. For any animal, you have to get on their level.
That felt like a classic clean I don't think so, honey.
It was really good, and I've never thought about it. It's one of those I don't think so, honeys where it's like you haven't thought about it, but you're like, oh my God, I've known this all my life.
Yes,
I've known since I was little. I don't think so, honey.
No, get them out of here.
Get them out of here.
And we are entering a time of snake shaming. If you have a snake, who are you?
Yeah,
reevaluate.
It's because of Taylor. She is making the snakes popular.
Well, then this week everybody was like, because Britney. 25 years whatever. They were showing the, I don't know what. All I know is
Britney 25 years.
Britney Spears was being talked about this week, and I was just sort of like, I don't, you know. Yeah. There are literally bombs going off all
good
over
for her.
Being sent. But she, they were talking about that snake, and there were pictures of that snake again. For some reason, that snake doesn't bother me as much because the color is kind of pretty, and it doesn't look like the color makes it look not like
all
a snake.
Snakes.
But no, I still think that snake should be killed.
No.
But like, I just, that one doesn't piss me off as much, but I don't want, like, I hate when I'm scrolling through my feed and there's a snake just of any kind.
How long do snakes live?
I'm not sure. I feel like they probably live a long time.
I'm wondering if that Britney Spears I Was Slave for You snake is still alive. Are you looking it up, Bo?
I'm looking it up right now.
Well, see, but then there's going to be a picture of a snake on your phone, and you're going
to
have that all
day. That's okay. I won't,
he doesn't
I won't show
feel
it
as
you.
Bothered by snakes as you do, so I think he'll be able to take it. How long do they live?
Boas usually live for 25 to over 50 years.
Get a life.
Many colubrids have a lifespan of between 15 and 25 years, and smaller species live for 5 to 10.
So the Slave for You era was 2003-2004, so I guess we can say, or 2001?
2003.
Are we sure? Because 2000 was Oops, I Did It Again.
2002, I want to say.
So we can safely assume the snake may be alive.
Maybe alive.
It depends on how old it was.
Was that a boa constrictor?
I think it wouldn't have been safe on her. Python.
Yeah, it was python. A python. It wouldn't have been safe on her. Like, go away. No, don't bring that into a building.
There was an interview with her, and they were like, would you ever do that again? She was like, oh my God, no.
Yeah.
She was like, it was really bad when I did it, and
apparently
I didn't
smell
like
bad,
it.
Too.
Ugh,
they
smell bad.
There's no reason for
we
that.
I had like a little kid's birthday party, and like they brought out a snake one time, and it was like...
Why did you have a little kid's birthday party?
It was like when I was a little kid.
Oh,
and, like,
I meant you were hosting a children's birthday party.
Yeah, I was like, come on, kids, I'm having a birthday party for you.
Maybe don't admit that on air.
Yes. Yes.
No, but when I was little, one of my friends had a birthday party, and we could all get pictures taken with like the big yellow snake. Yeah. It was like sitting on our shoulders.
That
and I think
is
it's somewhere.
Disgusting. And I think it's wrong too to the snake. I mean, look, I hate snakes, but I still think they shouldn't be forced to do that.
Yeah, thank it's you. Like they should be alive with their dignity or murdered with their dignity.
Just put them all on an island. Like literally Australia is like
full a Jurassic Park for
yes,
snakes.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, Australia is actually perfect for snakes.
Well, there's tons of them there.
But because there's tons of the kangaroo populations get out of control.
Unfortunately.
So that maybe the snakes can bite the kangaroos.
I don't like that.
I'd rather
that.
More kangaroos than more snakes.
Oh, but apparently kangaroos are like not so nice.
Oh no, they're a nightmare.
And they're really? Basically, Australian people consider them to be like rodents.
Yeah.
They're like the deers. When you go to Fire Island and there's like so many fucking deer. Yeah,
but yeah. But they like literally they can punch you. They're like really aggressive. Whereas a deer would just run away from you.
Oh my God. I just remembered that a kangaroo is a marsupial and therefore it's not a mammal and you can't get on its level.
And it's so important.
I had a kangaroo as a publicist for a couple of years.
And she didn't understand.
It couldn't get on her level.
Yeah, no, we could never communicate.
She didn't get it.
She didn't
quote unquote get it.
That kangaroo did not get ahead of the chapter in the book.
She did not.
She did not.
Before we spin off into a whole other podcast about marsupials and reptiles and the animal kingdom, we should probably wrap up.
We should wrap up. Although talking about these animals really makes me want to trip on acid someday with Jeffrey at a zoo.
I was like, I would love to literally, the two of us should fly out there and you can really recreate your Jordan, Brian,
and Jeffrey.
I also
hate zoos, but
let's
I enjoyed it that day.
Then let's take acid and not go.
San Diego's is very good.
And go anywhere else.
But
let's go to a fucking aquarium. Although sea animals scare me more.
Really? Sure.
Yes, because they're unpredictable the way they move.
The way they move. Jeffrey, we love you so much.
I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm such a fan.
We've been trying to get you, actually.
I know. Well, because you're here and I'm, you know,
you know what? It's different.
I was going to try to do the live one in LA, but it didn't work out. I was out
no
of
worries.
Town.
Hopefully December.
Okay, let's make that happen.
Let's make it happen. We love you so much, Jeffrey. Thank you so much. Please check Jeffrey out on every great gay show. Truly, Difficult People, 30 Rock, Search Party.
30 Rock, Classically a Gay Show.
Classically a Gay Show. I mean, actually, yes. There's a queer aspect
to it. Yeah, some good gay characters.
I love that.
And we have to close out with a song, as always.
Somewhere over the rainbow,
we can't do this.
There's a
we can't, do,
we can't
this.
Do this.
Bye.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.